Could you talk a little bit about the way you approach the radiation therapy in that situation, the technique that you utilize at Memorial, and what are some of the other radiation oncology approaches?
In postoperative radiation therapy, we typically treat to a dose of 54 gray in 30 fractions. And we target only the involved nodal levels. We don't do what is called elective nodal irradiation, meaning we don't treat the entire mediastinum. We don't treat nodal levels that are not involved or found to be uninvolved at the time of surgical dissection. We will always cover the ipsilateral hilum because that's where the transitioning lymphatics are running to the N2 nodes. And it's usually not a very big difference in terms of expanding the field to cover that space. We'll typically use a 3D or IMRT technique with image guidance daily. The 3D versus IMRT approach depends a little bit sometimes on insurance clearance, unfortunately, and there's no absolute right or wrong. Really, what the bottom line is that the lung constraints and the normal tissue constraints have to be met no matter which technique you use. And that is certainly part of the treatment planning and can be well evaluated with modern techniques.
Any comments on other techniques of radiation therapy in this situation, including proton beam?
Yeah, proton beam radiation is, of course, an exciting novel therapy. It's not, to my knowledge, been prospectively evaluated specifically in the postoperative setting. We are working on a study like that. In my mind, proton therapy might be actually a really good technique for the mediastinum. Some of the challenges of proton therapy in thoracic radiation oncology have to do with respiratory motion and significant tissue density differences. And many of those issues are not as significant when we talk about targeting the mediastinum. The advantage of proton therapy is that the beam comes in from one direction and stops at a certain point, or you can make it stop, and then any tissue that is posterior or distal to that stopping point will receive no radiation. So it's an ideal technique when there is a target, a little bit of space between the target and the organ that we are trying to avoid so that we can stop the beam right in between. So, for instance, the spinal cord we could completely avoid with postoperative radiation therapy with proton beam. Maybe more importantly, it would be really nice in some scenarios, and that depends on where the target would be located, but it would be really helpful to avoid the esophagus and the lungs more effectively with proton radiation if there is enough space in between the area that needs to be targeted and those organs.
Do you do proton beam therapy at Memorial?
So our proton radiation center is built and should be operational in June.
How do you see that fitting into your practice, if at all?
So I think it will really add another tool to our practice. It is a New York Proton Consortium, so it's not just Memorial, it's a consortium of several academic institutions that are working together, but we of course have a significant interest and portion in it. We are planning to design, and we are in the process of designing trials because we would like to really use this as an academic opportunity to treat as many patients as possible and monitor them in a prospective fashion. So, for instance, the port question that we just discussed would be an ideal one, but we really plan to do that across all organ sites. So each organ site or disease team has a list of trials that they would like to do that they're designing for the center that should be up and running by the time the center opens.
Any other new or evolving radiation techniques that are used in the community that you want to comment on?
It's a little bit unclear what the role is of stereotactic radiation in locally advanced lung cancer. Obviously, that has revolutionized early stage lung cancer. It plays an increasing role in oligometastatic lung cancer, and that oftentimes is actually a scenario that we end up with in the locally advanced patient population. So, as I said earlier, when we repeat a PET scan for restaging, it's not uncommon that one detects one, two, or three early metastases. And so, generally, oligometastatic disease is defined as less than five metastases, and that is somewhat arbitrary. But in those scenarios, stereotactic radiation therapy does play an increasing role. It has been shown in two studies last year that it results in a progression-free and an overall survival benefit when we treat all sites of disease with aggressive local therapy, such as surgery or stereotactic radiation. And that will be an increasing indication for that.